Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 222. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
We took last week off, mainly because there wasn't enough stuff, I don't think. But I feel like we got a pretty packed episode of new films here tonight. So we're going to get right into it and, you know, ending with our, like, in-depth Terminator Dark Fate review. But we got a few other new movies first. We're going to get into them. Shorter reviews. I guess I'll start off, Chris, with The Nightingale, which I don't know if you've heard about this movie?
I have not.
Okay. So it's written and directed by Jennifer Kent, who she did The Babadook.
Okay.
And this is like her first film since then. And I didn't look it up. I know The Babadook came out like, I want to say 2013 or something like that. Like, it was a while back. So, you know, as a fan of that film, I was, like, really waiting, you know, looking forward to see what she does next. And The Nightingale has arrived. It's on Hulu. Very different film, though, than The Babadook. Different all around. There's still elements of horror, but it's more of, like a period revenge thriller.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Some horror elements in there, but then also I think like an interesting drama in there. So just reading off the Wikipedia, it says it's set in 1825 in the British penal colony of Van Diemen's Land, now the Australian state of Tasmania. The film follows a young convict woman seeking revenge for a terrible act of violence committed against her family. So it's like, you're like thrown into this story where I don't know a lot about this history. Like, I don't know what the hell is going on, really. But I don't think need to know that much other than, like, these people in Australia, they're kind of being occupied by British soldiers. And the British soldiers have, like, our main character as, like, a captive prisoner. She's like an Irish woman who they've kept prisoner because she was a thief or something. And basically, before the soldiers move on to another town, they rape and brutalize her and like kill her family. This is all like in the first 10 minutes, so kind of spoilery, I guess, but it's like the setup for the film. And they take off, and she takes off after them to get revenge. That's kind of the story here.
It's like I Spit on Your Grave, 1825.
Yeah. But you know, yeah, like almost like costume drama shit, like the way everyone looks and stuff, and the setting. And you know, not I wouldn't say it's like trashy, like I Spit on Your Grave, but like there are moments. I mean, not just the rape scenes and stuff, but there are moments of like extreme violence, which could definitely be considered like verging into horror. But on top of it, there's also this drama. So she like hires this Aboriginal guy to help her get through the wilderness. And along the way, there's kind of like a drama / friendship type thing that unfolds between them. So there's like the revenge angle, and then there's the more like friendship drama thing that, you know, kind of deals with racism and stuff. And I found actually like the relationship between her and her guide to be like the most compelling part of this. Although, I was totally into the revenge angle too. And I definitely wanted to see these, British soldiers get their comeuppance. Like I said, I thought this would be inaccessible, but you know, within 10-15 minutes I was into it. I was engaged. And like I said, I wanted to see her get her revenge. There was a point late in the film where I was like worried that the ending was going to suck. But it recovers from that, and I think it has a pretty strong ending. And this is a pretty highly recommended film, I'd say. So, just with the note that, yeah, like for some people, I think that, you know, some of the subject matter and some of like the depictions of violence and rape and stuff are going to be like a little intense for people. But, you know, if you can handle that stuff, I'd say this is worth checking out.
Where is it available at?
It's on Hulu for free okay. now. So if you got Hulu, watch it there. I think there is a Blu-ray coming out early next year. But yeah, I liked it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to say about it before moving on. I mean, the one thing I'd say is, like, I think that, you know, her first film, The Babadook, is like kind of a classic horror film almost at this point. I think definitely one of the better, like, horror films of the decade. I don't think this lives up to that, but it's still a pretty good film in its own right. And, you know, I'm interested. I'm interested to see what she does next. She's like kind of two for two for me. Like, I like both her films. The one thing I don't like about this film is it's like the standard aspect ratio, like the little square box.
Oh, that's weird.
I'm not a fan of that. She has like, I've actually looked up an interview. Like, she had some reasoning for why she wanted to do that. And I just, we all have modern televisions now and I want the widescreen, like nice picture. So that bums me out when that happens. You know, there's a lot of like movies that do that lately. Like The Lighthouse also, it's one of the reasons I'm not so interested in The Lighthouse, because it's shot in that old aspect ratio.
I mean, it's like, it's a weird aspect. Like it's a TV aspect ratio for back in, and like, you know, when TV came around, like if you're shooting a film, like shoot on film or digital, everything is shot like in widescreen now. Like there's zero reason to do like weird trippy aspects.
Her reasoning was like, it's a movie about the characters and how, like, you know, that framing, like, really
does tighten it up. I can see that, I guess.
Yeah, and it like kind of highlights the characters instead of like, you know, the background around them. But it's just like, I want a pretty picture. So I get her reasoning. I don't care, but it wasn't like distracting me the whole movie. Like I got over it pretty quickly, I guess, and because I was into the story. So I'm gonna give it 4 stars and say, yeah, check it out, man.
All right.
Another new film that I've been dying to see for like months, and I'm pretty sure you have been too. Parasite.
Yeah.
You actually got to go see it at the theater, right?
Yes. It finally hit my theater.
So sadly, I have not gotten to see this yet because I don't have it by me. I really hope I could see it before the end of the year for end of the year stuff. But tell us a little about Parasite.
Yeah, so it's the new Jun Ho Bong film. He did Snowpiercer and I guess more recently Okja. Is there something else?
The host, I think. Yeah,
yeah. The Host was his as well. So, I mean, he's pretty well known, and like, you know, if you're following Korean cinema, he's made some pretty big films for them over there that have received some mainstream success over here in the West. Mm-hmm. Parasite is how to explain this. I was kind of sold on it being a like horror film in a way, with some comedic elements. It is not that at all. It is mostly a family drama comedy about this family of con artists that infiltrate this like rich people. Like they infiltrate this rich family as their servants, as their tutors for their kids, or art teachers, or drivers, or the maid, like the housekeeper. They find a way to get all of their staff fired, and then
it's like slowly like infiltrate.
Yeah, they like this family. Like the son gets there first. He's kind of brought in as a favor to a friend. Who is going to study abroad, and the daughter of the rich family, she needs an English tutor. So he recommends his friend who goes, and then he finds out that, oh, the son needs an art teacher. So he recommends his sister, who then recommends their dad as the driver, who then recommends the mom as the housekeeper. But like, they never state that they're related to each other, so it's all this giant con going on. It's pretty funny to like see it all interact. And then there's a twist. Like, there's this twist where something happened. I'm not going to spoil it here, but something kind of like goes wrong, and everything goes to shit. And it's kind of like there's some comedy in the turn, but it definitely takes a darker vibe, and then it twists again with an even more dark vibe. But it's well acted all the way through. I think the family is enjoyable. They're fun. Like, all the characters are fun. They're all assholes, so you don't necessarily feel bad for them. But also, it's this like stupid rich family. So on one end, you're like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. It's a good time though. It's almost 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think, but, it didn't feel long at all. Like, it was enjoyable. I enjoyed the twists. There were a couple moments like, oh fuck. Like,
so you went with each twist, like you liked how, like,
yeah, how they played out.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, there are definitely horror elements to it, but it's not a horror film by any stretch. It's at best, like, I think like the back half is more of a thriller than anything, and then the front half is this like weird comedic drama, like family drama going on, like, but he does a great job with making all the characters enjoyable, making the lies that they're telling interesting, like seeing how they're played out and how they interact with this family, and some things like off camera, like the dad comes in, he's the driver, not really supposed to know the housekeeper. In fact, I think it's her first day on the job or something. And he's like helping carrying in these groceries that the wife has just bought at the grocery store. And the wife of the house is further up, and like he grabs his wife's ass, the housekeeper. It's just, there's like little twists like that, like, hey, we're family, but we can't really express it publicly because we've lied to these people, and the lies just keep getting more and more twisted that it makes it for this giant spiral once it all starts to come undone. And it's interesting to see how it kind of does play out. So
it does. I like that premise. Like, it does sound really cool. I've actually like avoided really any info about this movie. Like, I know it's got a lot of hype, and I first heard about it from one of our friends. Like, I don't know how he saw it. I need to ask him. He saw it months ago, and like all he was saying was like he really loved it. Like, you guys got to see it when it comes out. Oh my god, it's crazy good. And so like I've just been hyped to see it based off of that. But now that I finally like know the premise, I'm like, that sounds cool. So I'm like even more excited to see it.
And it's it's a film that I think is gonna, like, once, you know, you see it and like other people see it, it's gonna generate conversation.
Yeah,
like, it's one of those types of films. I really went in thinking, you know, with the name of this film, Parasite, that you know, it has some sort of like, you know, scientific horror element. There's gonna be some sort of outbreak. It's not that. Like, the term parasite applies here, but in a different way. So
I'm excited to see it, man. I really hope I get to see it before end of the year. Which is funny too, because like I can't say I've loved anything that this guy's directed. I haven't seen a ton of, like, I haven't seen Okja, so
that's one I haven't seen. I saw Snowpiercer. I like Snowpiercer. Which was almost like, I mean, it's a Korean film, but it stars like Western actors,
yeah,
as well. And I saw The Host, and I liked it, but it was like a modern day monster movie.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has a very, he has a visual flair to how he films things. and he was able to kind of take that old school, you know, Japanese style, you know, Godzilla,
yeah,
you know, that type of film, like a kaiju type film, and apply it to, you know, South Korea. Most of his films are set in or around Seoul, or dealing with Korean characters and actors specifically. So he has a style to him, and I think it works. This is a different type of film than those, for sure. Like, it's not fantastical, like
yeah.
Okja deals with, like, a you know giant mammoth creature of some sort. Snowpiercer's like a, you know, post-apocalyptic
train
film, like, with society living on a train, and the host is a monster movie. Like, this is a straight thriller, but there's, like, a lot of heart to it. The characters are great. It's enjoyable all the way around. I'm gonna give it 4 stars. So.
Okay, I was just about to ask you, and we'll probably talk more in depth about it if I ever get to see it.
Yeah.
But let's keep moving along, because I feel like we're going to go a little while on Terminator. But before that, one last movie I want to touch on that's new is Dolomite Is My Name, which is on Netflix right now. It's a new film directed by Craig Brewer, and I think, you know, most notably stars Eddie Murphy as well as Wesley Snipes. And you have Eddie Murphy here. It's just like a biopic about this guy named Rudy Ray Moore, who was like this small time kind of like nightclub comedian who, at least according to this film, essentially, like, he like stole his jokes from bums. Like, he would go down to like places where bums hung out. Like, at least this is how it's dramatized here. And he would like pay them to tell, like, basically for them to just like talk shit to him and like say the shit that they would say that's really funny. And he would like record it on his little tape recorder and basically turn that, like, he would definitely like edit their material and like shape it to make it better, you know. But that's essentially what he was doing, and just going on stage and kind of playing this character, this kind of like fast talking, like, you know, bum that like would tell like these crazy over the top jokes and stuff like that. And he gained like a little bit of a cult following off of that. But, you know, it's about a guy who is like middle aged, I think a little bit older than us, and he's never really succeeded in life, but he's like very driven to do so, you know. So he wants to be famous, he wants to be a star. And one day he's sitting in a movie theater and he's like, you know what, I need to get my, you know, material up on the big screen so I could get an audience all around the nation at once, you know, and become like a huge star. And so this is about how he got a film called Dolomite made, which I think that actual film, at least last I saw, was available on Amazon Prime. I have not watched it, but if you're interested in checking it out. Yeah. So it's basically like, it's one of these stories about someone who's driven to succeed, like, no matter what the limits of their talents are. And in a lot of ways, like, you could easily compare it to The Disaster Artist from a couple years ago, like that James Franco film about the hell is that? What's the name of that guy that he plays in that? I can't remember. The guy that made The Room. Tommy Wiseau.
Yes. Yep.
Kind of like that. Kind of like that, but here, I think Rudy Ray Moore is a much more likable character than Tommy Wiseau is, you know. Tommy Wiseau is just weird, you know what I mean? This guy, like, feels like a real guy who's just desperate to make it. And I think the other advantage here is it's just, like, awesome to see, like, Eddie Murphy and Wesley Snipes in a film again, good new film. And, you know, a whole bunch of other people in the cast too, but like those two specifically, for me, it was just awesome to see them back. Movie's very funny, and there are some more like kind of sentimental moments, but I think they're handled kind of just right. They don't ever overdo it. Like there's just like these nice heart touching moments that like never lay it on too thick, you know, and never tries too hard to go into like a dramatic territory. Just a really enjoyable film, and you know, it being on Netflix makes it very easy to see. So I'm giving it a pretty high recommendation as well. It's a good week actually for me, anyways.
It's been pretty good. This looking at this cast here, I was interested. I watched the trailer for Dolemite Is My Name, and it looked fun. Like there's an energy to that trailer that I was like, yeah, this looks like it could be a good time. And I'm looking at this cast, it's fucking amazing. Like,
yeah,
Eddie Murphy, Keegan-Michael Key, you already mentioned Wesley Snipes, like Craig Robinson, Tyus Burgess, Snoop Dogg's in it. Like
Snoop Dogg is in it, yeah.
Chris Rock, like this is insane.
It's really, it is a big ensemble. Like, and I'd like to see them get recognized as an ensemble cast. I forgot which. I think it's the Golden Globes might have that category.
Yeah, the Golden Globes and SAG. I think the SAG Awards do.
But really, I give this film to Eddie Murphy, Wesley Snipes, and actually Divine Joy Randolph, who plays like this woman that they hire and who becomes friends with Eddie Murphy. It's a lot of fun. So check it out. I'm giving it 4 stars.
Nice.
Another solid movie this week. Speaking of solid films, Chris, well, we're about to find out. Terminator Dark Fate, man. This is a movie that, well, let's set it up first. It's a new Terminator film. It's directed by Tim Miller, who did Deadpool. And James Cameron is back as producer.
And he helped write the story of this, I believe, as well. He didn't write the screenplay, but he gets a story credit.
Screenplay by David Goyer and a couple other people. And we have the return, best of all, we have the return of Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor and Arnold Schwarzenegger as Terminator. And boy, it's hard to talk about like specifics of this film without getting the spoilers, and we're going to get into spoilers in a minute, but speaking broadly and generally, they got the gang back together, and they're doing kind of what like Halloween 2018 or Star Wars The Force Awakens did, where it's like you're getting back like some of the original cast, you're going back to the original films and what made those films great. And you're trying to like replicate that, and then at the same time, kind of like hand it on to this new generation of characters.
Yep,
it reminds me of Force Awakens a lot in that way. And you know, Halloween had that element too, where it's like there's Laurie Strode, but now she has a daughter and a granddaughter, and the series feels like it is going to kind of hand it over to them too. It's kind of what's going on here, and I don't know that Terminator is. Dark Fate is as successful as like Halloween 2018 or The Force Awakens. But for me, I had a hell of a time with this movie, man. Like I had heard generally positive shit from it. Like actually going back to the summertime, I had people telling me like, hey man, that Terminator Dark Fate, this might be pretty good, blah, blah, blah. And it got generally good reviews. I saw that you gave it a decent review, and I was still not like expecting
I'm not to sold.
Enjoy it. There's that element where it's like I've been let down so many times with the series. Like 1 and 2 are like some of my favorite movies ever made. I'm sure that applies to you as well, and a lot of people our age, But like everything since then has not even come close to live up to those first two, and so we've had. With three sequels in between, T2 and this one, that I was watching some of them in the background today as I was doing stuff. I was off today, and yeah, they're not good.
There are moments I think in each of those films that are solid. Like there's a pretty cool like truck chase scene in Terminator 3.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything of Genesis.
Like, there's robots and shit, and there's some decent action.
Yeah.
And Terminator Genesis, boy oh boy, as we're watching that earlier, I think it's a mess. But so it's just been like disappointment after disappointment. So I didn't want to get my hopes up again. And it's like, despite the fact that I hear positive things, I was also hearing negative things from people too. Like the reviews are, I think, generally positive for this one, but there are people that really did not like it.
Yeah. And so I just run into that.
Yeah. I didn't want to, cause I could have easily been in the camp of people that was like, what the fuck is this, dude? So like, I just didn't want to I wanted to believe, but I would not let myself believe that this could be good. But, yeah, I think they generally pull off that goal that I kind of stated up top. And again, without spoiling anything, I think it gets off to a really fast paced start. Like it's like off to the races right away. And it's kind of structured like how those first two films are, where it's like the action kind of starts really quick. And then you get these little lulls, where they'll be driving as they're running away from one of the Terminators, yeah. And then, you get an info dump that explains what the hell is going on.
Yep.
And I think I don't think this is as great as any nowhere near as great as the first two, but it's I like that they just kind of went back to that simple formula. In many ways, this feels like a retelling of Terminator 2 in some way. It's very similar story, but it's just hand to get to a new generation. But I also appreciated that it just kind of kept that structure where it's just let's just get going and have fun. I'm trying to think of what else I could say about it without spoiling things. But I guess I said that you gave it a positive review. So you liked it, right?
I did. I liked it. I think it is. It is better than the previous three sequels.
Yeah.
By a good margin. I mean, it has issues for sure, but for the most part, it's fun. It mostly makes sense, which is something you can't say about the other three movies.
Beyond just making sense, I remember the other thing I wanted to say. I was I cared about what was happening here. I found the story engaging. Did you feel that way too or no? Chris, you there? Hello?
Yep. Yep. Did you lose me?
I think I did, but I hear you now.
Oh, weird. Anyway, yeah, I like the two leads here that aren't Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. Cause honestly, Arnold doesn't show up to over halfway through the movie. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Connor, while she's through most of it, she's not the lead. She is that Han Solo character from The Force Awakens. She's your link to these new characters that have, Mackenzie Davis's Grace, is the one from the future. She's the one that has been brought here to save,
to protect,
Danny. And you don't know what she is because you know that she's enhanced in some way, but she seems, a Terminator?
She seems very human too. Yeah. You're like, so what's
this? So I like how they slowly give us the information on her and Sarah Connor is not convinced about this shit at all because she's been living this crap for fucking 40 years now. I like Grace. I like Danny. I think they carry the film real well. And then you add in Sarah Connor to it. It kind of works. The Rev 9, the new Terminator,
mm-hmm.
Not sure. It's a cool idea. Basically it's a super construct Terminator, an exoskeleton with that, the Terminator 2 juice, the liquid metal type thing, that can take form over anything. It's a weird concept because at points, like, it can split itself into two and work independently. And they don't really go into that. They don't explain that. I don't think it's needed. It makes for some cool visuals. But it's also like, we've gotten to a point where these things are fucking like nearly impossible to beat. Like, it's like when, you know, when your T-800 Carl is unable to, like, you know, adequately take this down. And we've already kind of run that piece, right? We ran that with T2 where Arnold was having trouble taking down.
It's like the underpowered older model.
Yeah. And now it's like a superpowered, like, you know, T-1000 where it has this like superpowered exoskeleton that can't just be destroyed, can't just be crushed. Like, you really need to like fuck it up. And then, yeah, then has the like liquid metal Terminator on top of that. It's a bit absurd, but it makes for some fun action sequences.
Yeah. This is the last thing I feel like we could touch on before we get into spoilers. But as for the new bad guy, which is called the Rev-9, I loved him. I'm like almost complete opposite as you. Like, I like he's kind of just like a hybrid of an old Terminator. Like, he's got like a Terminator core. I guess it's more advanced, but. But yeah, with like the liquid metal, you know, exoskeleton or whatever. Like, I love that it's like a combination of the two, and I do love the shit they did with like him separating from himself and kind of, you know, he kind of has his little Guigi to help him out.
Yeah,
It's like kind of what I thought of right away. It's like, oh, he could kind of split into two, and he's got the gooey version that could do the more stuff that gooey things could do. So yeah, I really liked that. Yeah, and just in general, I had a really good time. Like, I was into the story. I felt that it actually had some heart to it. I guess, you know, what, without getting into spoilers, what else can I say? Like, I think for me, you know, there are things about it. There are little like nitpicky things with the story, which we'll get into spoilers. I also wish that they just stuck to like the original score more, like the old music more. It, you know, it's kind of used sparingly in it, I would say, like to the point where it's like there's a point where like they do the old like Terminator cue near the end, and it like really stands out. You're like, oh yeah, why haven't like I've been hearing that?
Right, the whole way. It's like such an iconic theme.
It's just awesome. Like, yeah.
Why didn't you recycle more of them?
It's, you know, perfect opportunity to do, like do an awesome synth score, like how the original Terminator was. Like, again, like that shit's in now. Do it. I love it. I do think that, you know, I think like the story aspect and the ideas in this, you might think I'm crazy. I don't know. I think that's like the strongest stuff. I think that the action is good in it, but, you know, here's like my con, like one of my like, cons to the film is like, I don't think it lives up to any of the action scenes in the first two films. Like, there's good action in here.
Not at all.
Yeah, and so
it's fine, but it's also it's action in the way I expect action to come from, you know, the guy that did Deadpool.
Yeah,
like it's fine. It's just good. It's not James Cameron action. Like there is something to how he frames an action sequence that just works. Like, he knows how to create an action set piece that few other directors know how to handle.
Yeah, it's, you know, it has a lot to live up to. Like, T2 is like widely regarded as one of the best action movies of all time, and it was really like groundbreaking at its time, and, you know, just really memorable, like practical stunts and effects, and well, there's digital effects in it, but there's also like, you know, like that fucking truck chase down the whatchamacallit, like that highway or whatever. Like, that's still like one of the best scenes. Oh,
the LA canal. Yeah.
Yeah. In the canal. Yeah. Still one of the best like action scenes ever, you know? So like, there's a lot to live up to, but it's like when you carry the Terminator name, like, and especially when you're trying to like make it like relevant and good again, I mean, they tried. They did really good, and the action is fun here. It's just, I'm just saying, like, I think that's one of its shortcomings is it doesn't quite live up to that pedigree with the action. But I was so into the story and seeing these characters again and some of the cool ideas that we'll get into in a little bit here that I really, really enjoyed my ride with this film. I had a fun time. I know I'm going to see it again. I don't know if it's like one I'll buy, but this is definitely a movie I'm going to see more than once down the line and stuff. And I think it's a worthy successor, unlike a lot of the other sequels. That's how I feel about it. How about you?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's enjoyable, which is in a way that, you know, there are things about the other sequels that are, you know, hey, you could pick parts and be like, yeah, this was fun. Like, this movie is fun from start to finish. In a way that hasn't been for this series in a long time.
There's definitely things you could pick apart here, and we're about to. But, like, I'm interested to see where you're going to fall on certain things. Because, like, for instance, like, you were not quite sold on what the new Terminator was. Me, like, I really loved it. And there's a lot of things that I feel like a lot of people will laugh at or whatever, or think is not that cool or smart, that I actually really did think was cool. So, you know, somebody mileage might vary on that. Like, for me, for instance, there was a lot of things that, like, I'm about to get into, I thought were really cool. But it's a recommend, man. So I wish this thing did a little better than it did at the box office, because I don't know if we're going to get a follow-up after this.
It's going to be a while, and it may not follow this timeline, which,
because, like, what they've done here, they tried to kind of do with the Terminator Genesis. It's just like that movie, there's a lot of problems, but
this one's far more successful in reviving the series.
Yeah. I'm gonna, before we get into spoilers, I'm gonna give it a 4, and I'd say go out and see this in the theater if you're a Terminator fan. This is like, I feel like you gotta go see this if you're a Terminator fan.
I you know, it's been a little light on good action films in the theater for, you know, a couple months now. This is one to go watch. I'm gonna give it a 3, but I think if, you know, if you like Terminator, you like action, sci-fi action movies, certainly worth going to see. There are worse things that we've seen in theaters this year.
Yeah, well,
and this is legitimately fun.
Yeah, I think maybe that's part of why it shined so much for me, because, like, this movie, like, a lot of the big movies in the theaters this year, like, have been really, like, disappointing. So, at least for me, like, it just feels like a lot of it's just, like, never quite as good as you want it to be. And this was, like, better than I expected. And I coming off of, like, a somewhat lackluster summer, maybe that's all I needed. I don't know. Anyways, let's get into some spoilers. Like, I was, like, buzzing with excitement after I got out of this thing last night. And I was just, like, you know, like, as quickly as I could when I got home, like, just wrote down a bunch of notes of things that I liked or didn't like or questions that I had. So, I don't know if there's – I'm sure I'll touch on some of the things that you want to talk about. Of course, if I miss anything, just let me know.
Yep.
But just a couple things that, like – stuck out to me. I liked how early on, well, first off, the very beginning, the opening, where it's like a year after Judgment Day was supposed to take place, like, Sarah Connor's with her son John Connor in, like, Guatemala or some shit. They're, like, on a beach, and fucking, and another, like, Arnold Terminator shows up and fucking blows John Connor away, like, right in front of her. That's a hell of a way to open it. In fact, like, the whole first 15 minutes of this movie are just really, like, exciting, like, the way it gets right into the action. But, like, that at the very top was like, damn, dude, like, plus, like, I thought, like, they're getting, like, really convincing with these digital characters, because that looked like fucking Eddie Furlong to me, man. He looked like 10-year-old little Eddie Furlong from Terminator 2.
He did. Like,
I
thought he looked and sounded good. I didn't think the Arnold Terminator looked great.
Like, not as good as him.
Yeah, I was actually, it was like, oh.
Something like, weird, like, about the Arnold one, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was like, just off a little bit. Like, they didn't quite capture what he looked like, you know, that era. But Edward Furlong looked fucking spot on.
It's crazy, dude. Like, and you know, I don't know if you saw the news today. Like, there's a movie coming out that's gonna have James Dean in it. Like, a new movie. And I'm just like, in my lifetime, am I gonna see like a new James Gandolfini movie or something? Like, what the fuck? Where are we going with this? You know?
Right.
Anyways, though, I dug that opening, and I love how that sets up certain other things in the plot, which I guess we'll get to. Well, I guess it helps to explain like Arnold's motivations in this one, which I dug. Like, I don't know, did you like that? Like
that he grew conscious?
Yeah, like.
Well, I think it makes sense. Like it not necessarily that he grew conscious, but that, you know, there's they send these robots back to with one goal, like one objective, and that is to, you know, in this case it was to kill John Connor, and he does that. He has no other fucking purpose.
Yeah,
like, so, like, he can't go back to his robot, you know, timeline. He's stuck here in this, so it's like either, you know, either do something and die, like, or get killed, or just try and blend in, which makes the most sense. So he does, like, he tries to, he attempts over the next, you know, 30 years or whatever to try and blend in, and it mostly works. And as he does it, he kind of realizes what he did.
Yeah.
And so he's been feeding Sarah Connor coordinates for where these Terminators that are coming back, not necessarily to kill John Connor anymore, because you know, she stopped Judge, like, they stopped Judgment Day in T2. That's a main point here, is that you know, even though John Connor is killed at the beginning of it, Skynet doesn't exist.
Yeah, I love how they explain it. Like, there's like a line where it's like, you know, this Terminator that killed John Connor, he was sent back to carry out a mission for a future that no longer exists.
Right.
Like, I liked that idea, and I liked everything about, like, that setup for Arnold. Like, I think it's just like a fun, cool sci-fi idea that this machine, like this advanced machine, would want to try to find some sort of purpose for itself. So, you know, it just starts taking care of this family because its mission is done. So it just starts taking care of this family, and in doing so, it like makes it more human. And I know that like there's people that will absolutely like mock that and make fun of it and think it's stupid, but like I really loved it. Like, I really like loved that idea, and I loved how that it gave him motivation, because, you know, he starts to kind of almost like feel guilt about what he did to John. Yeah. So like it you know, sets up how everything else kind of happens in this.
I think like I think it does. It gives him a purpose to be here. It gives him a purpose to like to help out, as opposed to other times where they've kind of tried to shoehorn him into being in, you know, in Salvation or in Genesis.
Yeah.
I do think though that like the way they've set this up, the way it's like, you know, he is this assassin from a future that never happened. the flip side of that is that it creates this like bleak outlook on humanity, that we are fucked no matter what we do.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of my criticisms, like when I first got out, is I was really expecting there to be an explanation for how Skynet rises once again, although, you know, it's called something else or whatever. I want an explanation for how they got to the Terminators again, and like we don't really get that here. It's just kind of like, well, no matter what, it's destined to happen because that's like the way we're headed, you know what I mean? I was like, okay.
Yeah,
I
mean, like technology is advancing so much that it doesn't matter if we stop Apple from, you know, creating Siri. Google has created their digital assistant. Microsoft has theirs. So we're all fucked no matter what, because some corporation is going to fuck us.
It's going to happen.
Don't know which one. And if we stop the one that we know fucks us in the future, the other one is going to do it anyway. So it's like, God damn it.
Yeah. And And at first, I was like, when I first got out of the theater, I was like, "Is that were they saying that, or did I miss the explanation?" Because, you know, months earlier, back in the summer, I had heard a rumor that that the Terminator still rose after T2 because Arnold got his arm ripped off in the factory at the end of T2, and they never threw that arm into the lava at the end. It was like still stuck in a gear. And I thought that would basically be the new prototype, kind of how the prototype, because like in T2. Like in T2, they explain how the shit still happens because they found that proto, you know, the
found the original, the original.
Yeah. So I thought they were just going to do that again, and I thought, like, because I did go to the bathroom once, I'm like, oh man, did I miss them explaining that? And I guess not. It's just you know.
But no matter I think it works better that way than bringing Scott. Like, it's this bleak outlook. Like, doesn't matter what Grace does. Doesn't matter what. You know, what if Danny survives and is able to create the resistance? Doesn't matter what Sarah Connor does, or you know, if John Connor lives, there is no savior for humankind. We're fucked no matter what, but just be happy we don't live then. Also, we may have to deal with Terminators now.
another nice touch. And I'm sure you caught it too. It was like very early on in like the factory where Danny works at with her brother or whatever. There's like a comment about how, oh, they're replacing us with machines in this factory. Like,
yep.
Kind of referring to like how we're moving towards automation, but also referring to how fuck we're going to have the rise of Skynet essentially. I liked that. I thought that was like a nice kind of modern, you know, touch to it. I like some of the other modern things that they bring into it too, like the new tech stuff, like the EMP device, some of the stuff with the cell phones in this, like, you know, her putting the cell phones in the fucking
bag, yeah.
Or like the way, you know, there's cameras everywhere and everything's connected to the grid or whatever, and the way that like that new Terminator could kind of like just fucking goo it up into a computer and fucking, you know, see whatever it needs to see.
Yeah.
Direct drones. Like, I like that, you know, the movie's paying attention to the sci-fi elements of the series where it's like, where are we going with technology? Like, there's some of that in here, you know? It's like, it's kind of, it's doing something new with the franchise based on the new tech that we have now. I don't know. I like
one, and there's that. Like, while I would say that this and T2 to a very much big extent is they are primarily action films. Mm-hmm. The fact that they are touching on like the sci-fi elements though, it is like a tinge of horror, right? Like it's like look at what we're doing, where we're going. Maybe we're not making the right call here. We go fuck everything up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've touched a lot of the other things I wanted to say. So like, I guess the one other thing I had as a con that I think I had cleared up and maybe I missed it. Cause when I got out of the theater, one of my questions was, I was like, how the fuck is Arnold getting these coordinates to send her? And I'm like,
but they explain that. Like he gets a tinge or something. Like he gets something.
He sees some sort of pulse, like, or something when someone comes through. I was confused because I was like, if he knew all the plans of Skynet, okay, but, like, it doesn't make sense that he would know when this other robot showed up because this other robot's from a different future where it's not Skynet. You know what I mean? I thought he was, like, working off a list of fucking, like, he knew when other Terminators were coming, right?
No, it's that he gets some, like, in his innards, his electronic innards, he gets some sort of it's very brief,
and it is very much like them just kind of like explaining away a flaw in the script or whatever, because it's just like, okay, how does he know this shit? He gets a pulse, he feels something, like,
And it doesn't explain how he knows exactly like what the coordinates are, or just like,
fine.
He gets a pulse, and that's like, he's like, basically he's an early alert system that somebody's time traveling. And he passes that information on to Sarah Connor.
Yeah, so like that was one of the things where I was coming out of theater. I'm like, there's some sort of flaw here, but it was just the flaw was I just missed their quick explanation of it. We kind of touched on like the other things that I thought were kind of flaws in it already. And I think I'm trying to remember if there's any more like spoilery things that I wanted to talk about. Nothing's really coming to mind. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
No, I was not a huge fan of like the final battle, which involves this like turbine type thing. I don't know. It was fine. Like it just, I think that there are better action sequences before that.
True.
That just work a little bit better.
I would say that about the end of T2, though. I think the climax is very good in the factory of T2, but I think that, you know, there were things earlier in the film that are better than it, but...
And how many times were we going to say goodbye to Arnold in this series?
I know. I got, like, dude, I was, like, emotionally invested in what was going on with these characters, though, so, like, yeah, like I was into it, man.
Yeah, I really like Grace a lot, and, like, you know, I mean, we're talking spoilers. She dies, like that. That was upsetting. Like, you know, because when you find out why she's doing this, and that basically Danny kind of became her surrogate mother in the future, like it's like shit. that's depressing and sad. And
you know, the other thing about Danny too, like they treat it like a twist or a reveal that she's like the leader of the resistance, like. I guess you were supposed to assume that it was her kid, but I always just assumed she was the new leader. Like, so I was just like, yeah. You know, remember when they're like,
yeah.
Oh, Danny, it was actually Danny who was like the new leader. And I was just like, yeah, I thought that was like, there was another one of those moments where I was like, I had to stop and be like, wait, what? I thought that she,
yeah,
like, that's what I assumed anyways.
They did not do a great job of like masking that.
Yeah, make it a reveal, because I was just
they obviously wanted you to, because Sarah Connor, like, she makes some comments about, oh, well, fine, let her be Mary for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, like, look, lady, we get it. Your son died, and you hate terminators, but, like, if your goal here is to help save humanity, like, why are you pissed off that she's, like, now the savior, or the mother going to be the mother of the savior in some way? Like that was like a weird character thing. Like you would think that Sarah Connor would be like, oh, thank God it's not me this time. Like, yeah, I know how to stop these things and I'm going to teach you how to do it. And ultimately that's where we get, like, that's where the true ending of the film kind of leads, is, you know, Sarah Connor's going to go train Danny on how to be a badass. But there's this weird, like, kind of jealousy almost, like, well, fine, she can be this hero now, I guess, whatever. This is really weird.
Yeah. Although I did, like, in general, really love Linda Hamilton in this. I loved,
She's fun. She has some great lines.
She's fucking awesome in it, yeah. I almost love her here, like, her coming back more than Laurie Strode last year. Like, that's how good I thought she was here. And I guess one final thing for me, what did you think of like the humor with Arnold and the Terminator shit in this one? Did you think it was good? Because like they do some hammy shit in some of these movies with the humor.
It's fine. Like there's some goofy ass lines. Like there's the
one where the drapes, like, stuff.
Yeah, like just going on and on about the drapes. There's like, and then he's like talking about his family, and like they're like, well, what did you tell him? And oh, I told him, like, my past caught up to me, and they have to leave. They're not safe here, and I won't be back. oh, that's kind of groan worthy, but
yeah, there's another, like, when we first see Sarah Connor, she does like a, I'll be back. It's kind of lame, but some of the humor I thought was really fucking funny, like. When they first, like, are hanging out at his house and they're, like, all drinking beers and shit, and they're just, like, so they just, like, accepted you into this family and, like, unquestioning, like, she doesn't know you're a robot. And he's just like, well, I changed diapers efficiently, so she was pretty happy with that. It's like, shit, they just do some funny humor with that. Like,
yeah, like
he's just, like, a decent person and could do basic functions, and so she didn't really ever question whether he was human
didn't
or not.
Didn't abuse her like her previous husband, and like just treated her right. Like, I'm not a fuck up, so like, yeah, I'm a murderer,
and you know, like,
don't know that. Like,
Sarah Connor asks him, like, your wife never noticed that you were like 400 pounds. And yeah, I forgot what he says exactly, but he's like, our relationship is not like that, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's not based on physical, you know, whatever. But so, like, some of the humor I thought was really funny, and some of it, yeah, like, it, you know, some of it landed well, some of it didn't. But I'm okay with a little bit of humor.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, the, you know, there are definitely some eye roll moments with the humor, but for the most part, it lightened the mood enough that it's not Terminator Salvation where everything is fucking bleak and terrible the entire time. Like, this is fun. Like, it's a fun action film.
And, you know, I just, like, love some of those, like, moments with Arnold. Like, and, like, the other, like, you know, because it's set up for him to be more humorous in this one because he's become more human. You know, so, like, that works. And another thing I wanted to mention about that, like, one final thing, is, like, that him becoming more human plot point is, like, it's kind of there in T2 as well. Like, the more he's around young John Connor, he becomes
a father figure.
Yeah, so, like, that was not out of place, in my opinion, at all here. It was, like, a continuation of what he was going through in T2. But, anyways, as you can tell, like, I really enjoyed it. I'm, like, I had a lot to, like, talk about, you know, like, things that I was into or, you know, like, little things I wanted to nitpick after seeing it. So, I guess that kind of concludes our discussion on it, though.
It's fine.
As for next week, I will have Dr. Sleep.
I am going to try and see that, too.
So that's, like, a big one for sure. I don't know what else. I'm sure there will be other things. I will. There's a Netflix documentary I want to talk about called Tell Me Who I Am, which we'll do next week, too. But other than that, you know, I'm sure stuff will pop up, but for sure, Dr. Sleep.
Yep.
So we'll be back next week.
Movie dudes.
Do.